This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. You know who I am. Squid Billy. I am he, and he is I. He's the All-American National Champion. Former Atlanta Falcon. His wife goes gambles while he takes care of the kids. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson. And she is the first lady of baseball in Atlanta. She doesn't have to rebrand. Her name is Allie Mack.
And unless something changed yesterday, he is going to be sleeping on the couch. Happy anniversary, Squid Billy.
I do sleep on the couch every night right now, and it's mainly because of the child.
Oh, man.
Hey, well, I got, you know, I'm a good dad, Mike, and I've got dad duty at night.
I can see the look on your face. You knew you overstepped a minute.
It wasn't a shot at you. I just it was really just a pat on my back.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Speaking of dad life, I think Porkchop spit up on me like three separate times yesterday.
There you go.
Did you change every time?
Yeah.
Huh?
Did you change every time she did that?
No, but I did change after the last time because the last one was enough to be like, yeah, I'm wet. So it was a good bit, but, you know, that's part of it, right? I guess that's part of the growth process with that. Yes, it is my anniversary with my wife. Happy anniversary to Amy. That is our, let's see.
Do some math, carry the one.
Eighth wedding anniversary.
God bless her.
Dude, yeah. I cannot believe it's been 8 years. I mean, it is crazy.
Yeah. You start doing the math and you're like, man, that's 20% of my life.
Oh, wow. That's a different way to phrase it.
Is it? 20%? I don't do math.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. What's going on, guys? How we doing? I did Tex-Mex last night, the Cinco de Mayo at Casa de Squid. Very untraditional. I had a little glass of whiskey while I was cooking the Tex-Mex, and, you know, old El Paso, baby, for the win.
Allow me to put y'all on. All right, you ready for this? Birria tacos from Costco.
Ooh.
The kit. They just started making these kits. They're, you know, I've had the fajita kits or whatever, the chicken taco kit, whatever. I love the kits from Costco. The birria, bro, so solid.
Where have birria tacos come from?
I do not
it's
know.
In the last
it's
two
having a moment.
Years, everybody needs birria tacos. I saw a birria margarita yesterday.
Yeah, it's having a moment.
Yeah.
It's having a moment. It's kind of like, avocados avocados became a big hit, like suddenly. Avocado toast and all the other stuff.
Or
and
Chipotle. Then what's the what's,
in baseball terms, birria tacos are on a heater.
They are.
Ah.
What's the lettuce stuff too that's having kind of a moment?
Kale?
Yeah, kale. Kale kale had a moment.
Kale
Wait a minute.
Is done.
First off, yeah. First off,
exactly.
Dylan.
Kale's
Dylan.
Done though. Like the
kale
moment's
is
over.
Done.
Moment's over.
Dylan,
yes.
Why do you relate kale is not necessarily lettuce, it's just kale. Also, it's not a fad, Mike. It's been out for like 15 years.
What?
I just felt like he was talking about Kel to answer
your question.
You
were right, though. It's crazy that you were right. It's crazy how wrong both of you are.
My point, though,
Let's
Bo,
ask
is that
our vegan.
My point, Bo, is that kale wasn't invented 15 years ago.
No, like, but that, the fad started 15 years
ago.
Yeah,
sure, but it's over with. Like, the kale fad's done. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's cooked.
I don't think the kale fad is done.
It's done. You don't see kale chips on menus anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go
true.
There.
That's a good point.
I think
might
you're
just
both
kill
right.
You crazy, real quick. You know,
you're all right. It's Dylan's right, as in it's not done, and you're right that the fad part's done. It's just become. It's either accepted, and you know that your clientele likes it, or they don't, so you don't have it.
Did y'all hear the story that was put out that the largest buyer for like 20 years of kale was Pizza Hut, and it was because they used it to garnish their buffet at their places. They, you know, they put the kale under like the certain stuff like on their buffet lines, and like they were the largest single buyer of kale for years. And then all of a sudden, somebody just did, you know, a campaign for kale, and it was like, oh, this stuff looks cool.
That's got to be a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire question, because nobody would have guessed that.
Pizza Hut had one of the most underrated buffets. I'm sorry. I love the Pizza Hut buffet.
Big fact.
Salad
dude.
Bar. Huh?
I said that is a big fact.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
CC's Pizza coming in. Oh, dude, don't even get me started.
CC's was goaded.
They put sugar. No way. They put sugar in their dough to make you eat less. Fun fact.
Okay.
That's for CC's or Pizza Hut, Bo?
No. The CC's and the Stevie B's.
Did that bother you? You didn't like that? That they wanted you to eat less?
Yeah, if I pay to eat a buffet, I want to get my money's worth. I don't want to be shut down because of how you prepare the food.
Well, you know, do you have a problem with Mexican restaurants bringing out the chips beforehand or no? Because I'm pretty sure that's the same thought process.
No. No. Well, wait, how's it?
No, that's not the same
at
all.
That's not the same thing.
That's not the same at all.
That's not the same.
You're not paying for a buffet at a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
If anything, the Mexican restaurant is helping you because they're going to make you want to eat less and you have to pay less money for your food.
You're telling me they want you to order less at a Mexican restaurant when everything's a la carte, not a la carte, but just an entree?
No, it's about the salt. It makes you thirstier, so you're going to order more drinks.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay,
but I mean,
that's fair.
I'm already going to do the two margaritas. Hey, you know what? You know what's funny is my neighbor's dad, he goes to the Mexican restaurant and will just eat the chips and then order, like, refried beans, and that's it.
They love to
drink
coming.
Water.
I know why I respect that so much.
His bill is literally like $5 tops, and that's probably because he leaves a $3 tip.
Yeah.
I did have a table one time when I was waiting tables that ordered, and it was a table of 12. One sweet tea, and they're going to share it because it's free refill.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
Yes, they were serious about it.
There's not fine print that was like, dude, you can't do that.
Well, I'm sure there is now.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that happened.
Reactionary fine print. Yes.
Well, speaking of being cheap, last night, A.J. Smith-Shawver was very cheap with the hits he gave out. Dude took a no-hitter into the eighth inning, which may have been jinxed by our own Steak Shapiro, may or may not, I guess you could say, as he tweeted something. He claims two innings before it was broken. There was a little bit of a Twitter controversy because Steak was at the game. But I go back to, you know, it was a dominant performance. Braves win 4-0. Well, we'll get to the inside the park home run by Matt Olson, but I want to get Allie and your take, Mike, on A.J. Smith-Shawver. He's up to start the season, right? And then he's sent down. And he's sent down for, what, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks? Something along there. And there's, you know, Braves fans are losing their mind because they're like, why are we having to watch Bryce Elder, who's actually pitched pretty well his last three starts? But whatever they sent him down to work on seemingly has worked because he has came back. And remember, he was really good in Colorado, but he leaves the game in the fifth inning due to being hit on the forearm with a line drive. Last night he goes career high 8 innings, only gave up one hit, no runs. He phenomenal, right? Like whatever he worked on in Gwinnett has worked, and he talked about kind of his fastball, working on that, and that being a thing that, you know, just going back to it and being more reliant. But A.J. Smith-Shawver is on a heater.
Yeah, he obviously mixes in those pitches so well, and everything he was throwing last night was working. You know, and I don't think it's one of those things that you look at the Reds and see what they are offensively. I don't think it would have mattered who he was throwing against last night. And I think the most important thing, I think it was, number one, it was the best start I think I've seen from A.J. Smith-Shawver in his career, which spans 2 years, Shout out to Grant McCauley for making sure I was informed of that yesterday. But it also, to me, was nice to see him actually be that extended. You know, his stuff was good. He's had good stuff before. But when you talk about the longevity of his start, how efficient he was, I want to say it was the sixth inning or something. You know, it's like an eight-pitch inning. It was insane to see how efficient he was. And I think you're right. I texted Grant last night because I was wondering if he had noticed the same thing or if anybody had talked about it. Like, his windup now is so much more efficient. It's less jerky or spastic or whatever you want to call it. His first step, which was very much like a toe tap and go, you know, a couple of years ago when he made his debut, is now just a, I'm going to step here, then I'm going to lift my leg, and then I'm going to go for it. And it seems so much, I don't know what the word is. It's something you can replicate more easily these days than you could when he first came up.
It's more efficient.
Yeah, it's more efficient, but it also, I think, is just easier to make sure your arm is in the same slot, all of the above. And, you know, it was nice to see him get to the seventh inning yesterday and be able to throw, 95 mile an hour, 96 mile an hour.
Well, I think it's also about mindset. It's such a mind game when you are pitching. And in Colorado, it's not like he left the game because something was going wrong. He got hit. So when he went down to Gwinnett, it wasn't like, oh gosh, I got to work on this. I got to get back. So I think he just went in a little bit more relaxed yesterday.
Yeah,
and look, I think the other thing that is to be fair to him is this guy was going to be a college football player. He's going to be a quarterback in college football, and he got drafted by the Braves. He went that route. So that's probably where the mechanic thing has been. You know, he's been working on, to your point, Mike, with his arm slot and everything else. He's kind of, it's a little bit different throwing motion when you throw a football to a baseball. So that's part of it. Look, I want to get to this real quick before we go. Tyler Callahan makes an attempt, and these guys play like four or five games in the majors.
Dude.
And to catch a ball that was hit down the left field line into the wall, and he catches the ball, and he collides with the wall, his forearm his left forearm, glove hand, hits the wall. It breaks his forearm. The ball falls out of his glove as he goes to the ground. It's somewhat controversial. Some people, they ended up reviewing it. Olson runs the bases. He gets a two-run inside the park home run, which was his sixth home run of the year, if I'm not mistaken. And it put the game to 4-0. Some people thought that he had made the catch. I understand why they said that it wasn't. It was just tough to, A, watch the young man break his arm on that. But how'd you feel about that being ruled a non-catch?
It's one of those things where I had to do some insight, some self-scouting, if you will, because I do remember this happening to Ronald Acuna, and I think the base runner was – maybe it was Jazz Chisholm? Do you remember that?
It was Jazz Chisholm. And, oh, by the way
– ding.
The Marlins decided to tweet about it.
Yeah. Last night?
No. It happened.
Yeah, when it happened.
They tweeted, have yourself an inside the park home run, Jazz.
Yeah. It was, I had to do some self-scouting because I was like, man, I didn't really like when Jazz Chisholm did that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of the same scenario. Although I would make the argument that it was, it was more of a catch last night. And I think that, Wiley Ballard did a nice job on the broadcast talking about the transfer to the throwing hand. If that had been the case, that would have been easier to kind of look at. But I don't know, man. It was a tough scenario. I don't know. Like you said, it's controversial because I don't expect Matt Olson to stop running. But I don't know. Well, I don't know. It's like one of those things in soccer where somebody gets hurt. Do you kick it out of bounds? I don't know.
Well, here, two things, and I understand why it wasn't called a catch because he didn't. I'm kind of doing a football thing, but don't you got to finish to the ground and survive the ground with that?
Yeah.
And that's why, unfortunately, I hate putting it that way, but that's it. Also, Olson stopped at one point, and he was told to keep running. So he just did what he was told. And look, this ain't soccer. It's not just that normally takes a while before they just kick it out of bounds.
Yeah. It's not like the NBA where they can just blow a whistle and stop play. Or soccer or whatever else. Speaking of the NBA, we'll talk about that on the other side on the front page. A couple good games last night. Massive news for Georgia Bulldogs fans coming out of Nashville yesterday. And also another snippet of Braves news that's probably make you feel pretty good about what's coming around the corner.